Today's reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 79. And I'm reading from the Jerusalem Bible, so it won't be quite the same. John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited his people. He has come to their rescue, and he has raised up for us a power for salvation in the house of his servant David, even as he proclaimed by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times, that he would save us from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us. Thus, he shows mercy to our ancestors. And thus, he remembers his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant us, free from fear, to be delivered from the hands of our enemies, to serve him in holiness and virtue in his presence all our days. And you, little child, you shall be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. This by the tender mercy of our God, who from on high will bring the rising sun to visit us, to give light to those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Good morning. So we are in Advent, an exciting time of year. And like I said last week, I am famous for my love of Christmas. Not, but I love Advent. I love the waiting, the expectancy, the tension that builds up as you start lighting these candles and you start realizing that something is just about to happen. And it's scary and it's exciting and God's going to do something. And last week, of course, we looked at hope and we looked at peace. Today, we're going to be looking at two other of the candles. We are getting to four candles. Joy and love. And Lorraine's already talked about joy, which is actually called the shepherd's candle, because the angel announced to the shepherds that I bring good news of great joy. And I just want to remind you of the context in which Jesus came into the world. One of a domination of Israel by the Romans. There was poverty, there was marginalization. And into this context, God says, I'm going to bring joy. You're kidding me, aren't you? In that context, under the iron heel of the Roman army, who were brutal murderers, in poverty and inequality, you're going to bring joy? Really? But as Lorraine said, I've put it in a bit, she was talking to the children, so I've put it in a different way. I said that joy is actually a deep-seated contentment that comes from hope and peace. So Lorraine said joy comes from inside. It's not environmental. It's not dependent on how I feel. For the last 9 weeks, I've been ill. a lot of you may know this, with chest infection and fatigue and all this sort of stuff. But that should not change the joy that I have, because it doesn't come from how I feel. It's not centered upon me at all. It comes from inside, and that is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can only really have joy when we do have God in our lives. So in these stories, I wanted to have read at least twice Zechariah's prophecy. And thank you for doing the Jerusalem Bible. I do love the Jerusalem Bible. And this is a song of joy. Praise be, or blessed be, the God of Israel. Because he's redeemed us, and he's going to redeem us. He's going to save us from our enemies. It's a song of great joy, and also expresses God's love for his people. It's not that God doesn't love non-Israelites. Pretty much all of us here, we are Gentiles. So it's not that he doesn't love us, but he loves everybody, but he loves his people. And he saved his people. So in this, in the birth of Jesus, what we have is great joy. And I just want to bang on a little bit more and say, you know, just remember, this was a hard time for Israel. It wasn't a happy time for Israel. It was hard. We get at the beginning of Luke when it says Caesar Augustus imposed this census on the ancient world. You had to go to your hometown. You did not have a choice. And so Joseph also went up from Nazareth. You know the story, you've heard it many times before. And he had to travel with a pregnant fiance, almost wife. It was a bit different back then. But and had to walk that way. Note for the wise, there is no donkey. I say this every year. Nobody's convinced by the fact that Mary probably walked, almost 9 months pregnant, a long way. But it was a hard time. And Mary had already gone to see her cousin Elizabeth. And the first person to experience the joy that Jesus' birth would bring was John the Baptist. Because he sort of, she says leapt. I don't know how you leap when you're in a fetal position, but anyway, John the Baptist was quite a clever guy, so he must have done. He felt the joy. And people around, when they heard that Elizabeth had given birth to a son, had joy. This is something that God brings. The angels announce to the shepherds that they bring good news of great joy. There is no place for miserable Christians. Karl Barth said there's no place for miserable theologians, but I know a lot of them. I'm one of them. No. So how do we experience this joy? We've got to recognize, and it may sound a bit negative to say first of all, we need to recognize our unworthiness. And thank you for picking these songs, by the way, Mac, because it talks about our unworthiness, our sin. It's not a very popular word, is it, sin? But we are all sinners. I am a sinner. I am selfish. You just have to ask my wife. I am selfish. I am. I would rather do good to myself than anybody else, to be honest. We are all sinners, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is Jesus Christ. So if you want to measure, if it's a, you know, we talk about mental health and this sort of thing, and we compare ourselves with each other. Well, don't do that. Compare yourself with Jesus. Then that's guaranteed failure. There's no sort of suspense about it. You're going to fail. Because he was perfect. He was perfectly loving. So, you know, if you don't know that, if we can't recognize our own sin, we can't have the joy of our forgiveness. And I don't know if there's anybody here today who doesn't know that joy and we don't recognize our sin. But do recognize it. No, look at yourself in the mirror. I tend to try and avoid doing that. It's not a very nice sight. But look yourself in the mirror, into your own soul, and know it. But we also recognize that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Not for anything that we have done, but because he came into this world as that little baby, not there, didn't come to be a baby under a Christmas tree, but anyway, into a manger. That little baby hung on a cross for us, and we will be commemorating and celebrating in a few minutes the communion service. We're looking at the beginning of Jesus' life. That was the end of his life, was it? And the beginning of his resurrection. So we recognize that we are unworthy. We recognize that we are forgiven and that we can be in full communion with God. That means that we can know the maker of the universe. I go back to this constantly when I talk about maker of the universe. I always think of the pale blue dot. Do you remember that? It was just before leaving the solar system. This spacecraft turned around and took a series of photographs. And we're nothing. We're nobodies. We're nothing at all. Yet the maker of the universe came and died for us. Wow. Let it sink in. Let it sink in. And this is what gets me this time of year, is just absolute wonder. I was sitting down there. I could not stand up and sing because I was shaking almost, just with the wonder of knowing that God actually loves Paul Davis. So we go from joy to love, which is the final of the candle. It's called the angel's candle. All you need is love. one of the truest things that John Lennon ever wrote. But it's not just love and affection or attraction. It's commitment. And God showed his commitment to us in Jesus Christ. In this is love, says John in 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this is love, not that we first loved God, but he first loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. This is the ultimate of Advent. This is the thing of Advent. This is God's love in action. And love is not just a feeling. It is an action. For God so loved the world that he said, "Ah, sweeties." No, he didn't. He gave his only son. And this is the love that came down at Christmas. The way that Christ came into this earth, the way that Christ came to this earth shows God's love. It was a manger fit for a king. Kings don't get laid in mangers. God chose, the Father chose to send Jesus Christ, his beloved son, into this world, into danger. Now, does anybody remember riding lights? the theatre company, the Christian Theatre Company. Well, I remember them having a skit where two angels were talking. And one of them said, yeah, apparently the Father's, we're going to go out with the choir. That's good. Yeah, we're going to go down to Bethlehem. Really? Okay, why? Well, because God's sending his son as a baby. And one of the angels goes, he could come to grief down there. And then Gabriel sort of goes, spoiler alert, he will. There's the love that came down at Christmas. He came into poverty, danger, disease, homelessness, refugee. That's the God we got. He's not the God who is the now, is it Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci with the creation of man? The finger thing. Michelangelo, okay, thank you. He's not the great big thunder god. That's Baal. Our God is the little baby God. He's the God who hung on a cross. Born to a peasant girl. She might have been 15. She was scared. Who wouldn't be? You know, who wouldn't be scared? She was very vulnerable. We started watching the BBC Nativity thing last night, and I think I was in too much of an emotional state to actually watch the whole thing when Mary gets almost stoned by the people in Nazareth. But she was a young woman. But God decided this and decided to dignify humanity by becoming one of us. I said last week that the Orthodox Church emphasize a lot on the incarnation. God becoming human. Wow. I mean, people, I used to dialogue a lot on the Guardian website. And on the, I was, a long time ago, even before we were married, I was a member of the Humanist Society as a Christian, so I could argue with them. They blackballed me. They cancelled my membership. There you go. Really illiberal. Goodness sake. So, yeah, I used to dialogue with people, and they used to say, you know, God created the world. There's no evidence of that. It's like, well, open your eyes and have a look, mate. But also, the other thing was the resurrection that they couldn't get hold of. For me, and I used to say this, for me, God becoming human is the wackiest thing you can get. God, and the Bible does say, remember, that Jesus made the world. It was made for him, by him, and for him. And so, those little hands that couldn't even grab onto anything or that body that, I'm sorry to say this, but it's true, could not control his bodily functions, was the one who created the world. Yeah, it's slightly crazy, isn't it? But there you go, that's our God. That's the love that came down at Christmas. So the meaning of Christmas is not so much chestnuts roasted on the fire. It's about God's commitment to humanity in sending Jesus Christ. It is all about him. And we must not allow ourselves to get distracted too much. You might have your turkey. I'm going to have turkey. Horrible stuff. It's ugly when it's alive, it's ugly when it's dead. But just, let's not get distracted by the tinsel. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let us celebrate. But let us celebrate that God loves us and is committed to us. And I said last week, and I appeal to those maybe who don't know him, make that decision. We'll have prayer time afterwards here. If you want to come and have prayer, please do. There'll be people who want to pray for you. And you can get to know the joy and the love that is ours through Jesus Christ. We're going to finish, and then we're going to have communion. And so if I can ask Nick to come down and help me with the table, I will pray. Lord God, we thank you for the time that we can spend considering, reflecting, thinking, weeping about your great love and the joy that you bring us. We don't deserve it. We certainly don't. We're not worthy. But you are committed to us. And help us to remember this during this Christmas time. Help us not to get too distracted. Help us to enjoy ourselves, please. Let us help us to celebrate. But let us, help us, Holy Spirit, to remember your love and your grace and the joy that you bring and the love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.